Good morning, church. It is really good to be in the house of the Lord. We made just one little change this week to allow for more people to get in. So you'll notice the one side is set up so we have social distancing. This side you can mingle as close as you need to. If it's something that you desire to be apart from people and you want social distancing, this side will be available for that. And as long as we can social distance on this side, we'll continue that as well. But last week we got kind of crowded, if you noticed. We had just a lot of people here last week, and so we had to be a little closer. And that's fine. You can sit as close as you want to, or you can sit as far apart as you want to. We're gonna have to go this way for a while just to appease government, people that tell us what we have to do. I spent the whole week not knowing what I was going to even talk about today. Finally, yesterday morning, the Lord, I had some time just to spend with the Lord, so I got up and began just to go to the Lord and then speak with Him and listen. And He told me that choosing our friends is really important. Who we associate with, who we spend our lives with, is important. I entitled the message today, Developing Community, because community is a group of friends. We are a community. We're a family here. And so that's why I titled it Developing Community, and then I subtitled it Choose Your Friends Wisely. Psalms 101, 6 and 7 says, I will search for faithful people to be my companions. As I look back when I was a youngster, I was on the farm my whole life until I was 18 years old. When I turned 18, after we got the hay baled that summer, my father said, unless there's not enough work here on the farm for all of you boys, there was five of us boys, and so he said, pick a trade that you like and go to work. I wasn't expecting that. I was figuring on farming. I went to high school to farm. I took ag courses. Figuring on being a farmer. That was my life's ambition, because that's how I grew up. Grew up farming. So my best friend from high school was a carpenter, and he got me a job with his boss in August of 1971. I started building things. So I'll soon have 50 years in it. But as I began to work in the construction field with ungodly men, I started noticing that I was changing to be like them. I thought it sounded cool the way they talked and they drank and just lived hard. I thought that was kind of cool, and I realized pretty soon that it wasn't, that I needed to be an influence on them instead of them being an influence on me. But in that illustration, I noticed that your companions, the people you work with, your friends, have an influence on you. It didn't take me very long to figure that out. That was shortly after Patsy and I started dating. She was a good influence on me. I noticed that she hadn't been walking very long with the Lord. She had recently become a Christian. And yet she was walking better with the Lord than I was after being a Christian for years. But because of non-Christian influence, because of worldly influence, my life was changing. So the Lord showed me pretty quickly that I needed to do a flip-flop. I needed to change things back around. So choosing your friends is important. And I want to look at the Word of God today and see what He has to say to us about that, about developing a community, being part of a family that loves one another and cares for one another. So before we get into it, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, today I thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for calling us into this family, for bringing us to Open Arms Christian Church, to fellowship together, to share life together, to encourage one another, to love one another. Father, I thank you for the influences that you have in my life. People to guide me to, that I can look up to, people that love me and care for me and want what's best for me. Thank you, Father, for putting us all in this community, that we can share life together and love one another as you've called us to do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, the Word of God, first of all, it talks about a fellowship of believers in Acts. So let's just go there to begin today in Acts chapter 2. You'll note in Acts that this is the early church, just after Jesus ascended. The church began to grow and to flourish, and it talks about in verses 42 through 47 of Acts 2 about the fellowship of believers. And this is right after the day of Pentecost, when they were all filled with the Spirit, and they were all in one accord and filled with the Spirit, and it says the church began to grow, and the apostles were preaching and teaching that Jesus was alive, he was the Messiah. And it begins there in verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. We, with the coronavirus, has pretty well taken the fellowship part out of our community. I don't like that. It's one of the things that I particularly love about the body of Christ is the fellowship. The time that we have to be one-on-one with each other and share life with each other. I miss that. I'm so thankful that we're able to come back together and meet together. That's awesome to me. But the early church devoted themselves, it says, to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves. And for us, that's devoting ourselves to the Word of God, to what He teaches us in His Word, to what He tells us, talks to us about each day. And then we do get to break bread together on Sunday morning. But this is also talking about in our homes, inviting each other to have meals together. This is what the early church did, and I remember it as a child. Growing up in the Mennonite church, we often had families home for meals with us after church on Sundays. Just a time for us kids to play together and the adults to just sit and talk after the meal, and it was just a nice afternoon. And to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the church was growing. They were adding to their numbers. I've noticed here since we came back from not meeting together, that our numbers seem to be growing week by week, and that's awesome. I love to see all of you come and share life with us here. And so I thank God that He's growing the church, that in spite of COVID-19, the church is flourishing, the church is growing, and I thank God for that. But I wanted to look at a few things, a few characteristics of what community needs. And the first one that I come up with is a community requires commitment. We have to be willing to commit to the body of Christ. We have to be willing to commit to our community here. I've chosen Ephesians chapter 4 for this scripture for that. Let's just go there. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Ephesians chapter, the whole chapter of chapter 4 is just very good at talking about community, talking about the body of Christ and how we should share with one another in loving one another and caring for one another. But those two verses were talking about it takes both God's power and our effort to produce a loving Christian community. It takes both God's power and our effort to develop Christian community, to develop what God wants the body of Christ to be. We have to be committed. Number two, it takes honesty. We have to be honest with one another. We've noticed that in our marriage. If we're not honest with one another, you can't trust one another. Trust comes from honesty, from always speaking the truth. Sometimes I get myself in trouble for speaking the truth, but I've just learned that that's always best. Speak the truth, whether it's best for me or not. Speak the truth. Be honest with one another. That is also a scripture from Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 15. It says, since it says instead there, let's go back to 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There's that verse again about each part doing its part, doing what it's supposed to. I've talked about that often from the pulpit here, about each part doing what it's supposed to, and how if one part doesn't, then another part has to take its place, has to do it for it. Solomon in his wisdom said in Proverbs 24:26, an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. So that's another good verse to show us that honesty. And you'll notice that in your friendships. You have friendships, maybe a friend who's not honest all the time, you'll notice that it's not as true a friendship as someone who is always honest, who always speaks the truth. Something that has to take place for a community to develop the way God wants it to. The third thing it takes is humility. And I've chosen 1 Peter 4, 5 to 7 for that. where it talks about clothing yourselves with humility. So just flip on back to 1 Peter chapter 5. And verses 5 to 7. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. So humility. Think of others above yourself. Being humble does not necessarily mean that you let others run over you, but it's putting others before yourself. Allowing humility to reign in your lives. Number four, it takes courtesy. What is courtesy? Being kind to one another. I didn't really look it up. But courtesy is respecting our differences. Being considerate of each other's feelings. And being patient with people who irritate us. So there's a lot to courtesy. One of the reasons we set it up so we can have distancing or not, because some people prefer it. There's some of you who are going to want to do that, and that's fine. That's okay. There's a lot of different ways that we can be courteous to one another. For courtesy, I've went to Romans again in chapter 15, so let's turn back to Romans now. Romans 15, 1 to 7 says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." Be courteous to one another. Accept one another for the way you are. Don't try to change someone, but accept them. Be courteous to them. The fifth thing that I found in the Word of God it takes is confidentiality. Being confident that if I tell you something that's really on my heart that I've maybe done that I shouldn't even, that you're not going to go and gossip about it. We want you to be confident that what you tell us as elders that we pray for about you, that's as far as it goes with us. Be confident that we're going to keep your secret safe if that's the way you want it. There's just, in a community, that has to happen. You have to have confidentiality. You have to be able to trust one another with what you're telling us. I have to be able to trust you as friends. What I'm telling you, I just want you to pray for me or comfort me or whatever it is that I need that day, that you won't run and gossip about it. There's a lot of scripture that we could look at that talks about gossip and things that we shouldn't do to hurt one another. But confidentiality is one of the things that only in the safe environment of a warm acceptance and trust, confidentiality with people, will people open up and show their deepest hurts and needs. Don't gossip, because in Proverbs 16:28 it says, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. So if you want to ruin a friendship, run your mouth about someone that you love, that you care about. So we have to be confidential. Keeping each other's trust is part of community, part of developing a strong community. The sixth thing I found was it takes frequency. The more often that you can spend time with a friend, the closer you will become. Patsy and I have had friendships in our lives with people that we loved, that we cared for, that as life went on, we spent less time together, and now some of them are not friends at all anymore because we spent less time there. Our differences became different. And so we had friends that aren't close friends anymore. They're still acquaintances. Still, we may share time with them a little bit, but not a lot. If we don't spend time together as a body of Christ, we're going to lose our friendship and our love for one another. So that's why all through scriptures it talks about the church meeting regularly, once a week, getting together and sharing time together on the first day of the week. And so we've done that. That's why it was hard when we had to stay apart continually for 12 weeks, 13 weeks. It was too long, wasn't it? For me, it was too long. And I still miss our small group in Sunday school. That's another thing that I just love. But we have to meet frequently. Hebrews chapter 10. Regular contact with the church in order to build genuine fellowship or community or family. Relationship takes time. As we build relationship, it takes time to do that. It takes spending time together. It takes fellowship time. Time when I can just share some one-on-one time. I was able to spend some one-on-one time with Matt's family the last week or so, just because I went to fix a problem with some plumbing. It was fun just to share some time with them. No matter what it takes or what causes us to get together, it's just important that we get together. It's important that we share time together. Hebrews chapter 10, I didn't go there yet, did I? You guys are probably already there waiting for me. 10 verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, I'll find it, I'm getting there. 24. I'm in 11, I didn't think that looked right. Here we go. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Community requires commitment, takes honesty, takes humility, it takes courtesy, it takes confidentiality, and it takes frequency. So don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Come as often as you can. Because the more time that we spend together, the closer our community or our family will be. When you look at the list of characteristics, it's obvious why genuine community is so rare. It means giving up our self-centeredness and independence in order to become interdependent. So I give up my independence so that I can become dependent on all you guys. So I can depend on you. I can trust you. I can expect that you'll do what's best for me, or that you'll tell me if I'm doing something wrong that I shouldn't be, that God wants me to be doing as a godly man. I can trust you as friends to make sure that I'm walking the way God wants me to walk. So as we fellowship with one another, as we share life with one another, if you see somebody taking a wrong turn, in love, go to them and say, hey, this is what I'm seeing. Maybe we need to do something to change the way that you're going. As I was thinking about this and thinking about being dependent on one another and sharing life with one another, I had to think about the benefits of living in community, and the benefits of sharing life together far outweigh the costs, and it prepares us for heaven. If we can't live with one another now, we're probably not going to enjoy heaven very much. But we're going to be a big, big, big happy family in heaven. Hallelujah. We're going to spend eternity together, guys. Surely we can spend a little bit of life together here in unity, in harmony, loving and caring one another for one another. And as you meet life and do life, I have a thing that I think Julie gave me. I have a thing that I pray for my grandchildren. And I don't know, I think this is where I got it, was here at church. But it's 10 ways to pray for your children. I just wrote grand in the top of it. But there's two or three of these that are talking about my grandchildren's relationships and how important it is for friends. Number four says, pray that your children desire the right kind of friends and be protected from the wrong kind. So how important are friendships? And you guys that have children in school, you'll notice that. You'll see that the friends that your children pick have a definite effect on them. So I pray for my grandchildren that they'll have the right kind of friends, be protected from the wrong kind. I pray for their prospective mates, that they'll have godly mates, that they'll have godly companions even in school as they're growing up. Because in choosing their godly friends, that will in turn then prepare them for godly mates. So pray for your children that they'll have good friends, that they'll have godly friends. It's just important that there's 10 things here that are just awesome things. So if you would like a copy of this, 10 ways to pray for your children. I don't know if Julie has another copy, but we can make copies of this one. It's kind of worn because I use it every day. I pray for you guys every day as well. That's what this whole packet is. It's prayer needs that I go over every day, because I feel that passionate about the body of Christ. I feel that passionate about community. That is something that we need to grow into the body of Christ that He wants, that our Father wants, that we can be the children of God that He wants, that we can have godly friends, that we can have godly companions, because that's what this body is made of. Thank You, Lord, for the body of Christ, for a place that we can come, trust one another, love one another, share life with one another. So as you go this week, remember to pray for each other. Pray for the elders as we lead and share life with you. As we bring the word, pray that we are always right on with the words that we bring. Because we don't want to tell you something wrong, ever. So as the praise team comes, share the last song. If you have a prayer need this morning, we would invite you to come. We'll pray with you. It can be anything. It can be anything. If you don't want to come up and pray with us, just ask somebody that's close to you and they'll pray with you. Because that's what we do here in sharing the life.